And here we go here. And that's not firing up well, so that's okay. We'll start off with our recording didn't kick in for some particular reason.
Good evening, friends.
And we're going to welcome you tonight. It's Monday, December the 2nd. Here we are at 6 p.m., and I'm going to interview with Matt Webb, Smithers Bootmaker, we call him now. So before we open that section up, I just want to say that we're coming to you from the Cassia territory, the Gidim Dam clan of the Wet'suwet'en. And we are on 93.9 Smithers Community Radio, CICK. And we would like to welcome Matt to the program tonight. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me tonight.
You betcha. And what is your reason that we've got you on the program? We're going to try to figure out a little bit of who you are and what kind of got you to Smithers. I understand you were born in Smithers?
Yeah, I'm an original Smithers kid and came back here most recently. I've had a few iterations of life in Smithers.
Right.
And most recently came back as an entrepreneur with my bootmaking and repair business.
Well, that sounds very interesting. So when you did your time in Smithers as a young person, did you were you involved in sports or were you a part of the community? How did that work out for you?
Yeah, originally I was born in Smithers in 94, and so we were here for a decade before we left Prince George, and during that time I spent a lot of time playing soccer and up at the ski hill during the winters, doing both Jackrabbits cross-country program and then doing a little bit of ski racing in the Alpine end of things before we moved down to PG.
Right. So when you got down to PG, were you able to carry on with a little bit of ski programs? They do have a couple hills down there.
Yeah, it was different from Smithers.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did a lot of effort. I think my dad made a big effort to keep skiing part of our life.
Right.
So
right.
we would go out to Tabor or Purden if we wanted to do a quick day or if we wanted to do something a little bit more involved, drive out to Powder King.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They got a beautiful hill up there. Yeah, I've got family in Prince George. It's always my one of my favorite towns. We call it Mecca as we go down there, and we usually spend a lot of money on all the things that we can't find around Smithers.
It's the big city.
It's the big city, yeah. It's kind of nice. So you ended up graduating there, and then there was an opportunity to go to university, college. What was your next move out of there?
Yeah, so after graduating high school in Prince George, I was kind of floating around trying to figure out what I wanted to be. Wasn't really sure out of high school, so I took a year at the community college, CNC, in Prince George, and took some philosophy and history classes, which kind of led to a more questioning attitude.
Right, right, exactly.
And that kind of brought me to realize that I wanted mountains easily back in my life. And so that's what kind of instigated me coming back to Smithers.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, the mountain situation, I had that same issue because I was brought up in Vancouver, and it's a very beautiful scenic setup with their mountains around there. And originally I moved up to Fraser Lake, and I really liked Fraser Lake a lot, but it was missing that one ingredient of a mountain, you know. But anyway, so you then decided you were going to come back to Smithers, and then you, how would you get this training, whatever your plan was, your next plan?
Well, so it took a few more years here in Smithers before I wasn't really a cobbler yet. I was working at outdoor stores, at ski shops, waxing skis and selling hikers.
Okay.
And always kind of gravitated to the boot deck, selling mountaineering boots and ski boots, that kind of thing. And so I met my wife up at the ski hill working in the rental shop there.
Okay, right, yeah. Right on.
And so that was kind of in 2014 2000 to to 2016 was when I came back after high school.
Right.
And then my wife wanted to go to the carpentry program down in Nelson.
Okay.
And so she dragged me to the Kootenays, which wasn't really in my playbook. But I'm really glad that I did that, because that's where I got my opportunity to learn about fixing shoes at a repair shop down there.
Oh, I see. So you were able to work at that shop, do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I got a job without really kind of understanding that you could have a career repairing shoes.
Right.
It wasn't really an option until moving to the Kootenays.
And so why was that something important to you to take this career in the shoe racket? Was your father involved in shoes?
No, he just wore boots for a living.
Yeah, right.
He was a forester, worked for Silvacon.
Right.
And then BCTS. But yeah, I remember my dad coming home from camp, and I would sit on the back deck with him and help him grease his boots.
Right.
When I was a little kid.
Right. Oh, that's how it got started.
Yeah. And so that was kind of, you know, some subliminal training, I think.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I really always enjoyed quality footwear, mm-hmm. and I've continued to learn about what that means, what is quality footwear. And, you know, it's a really kind of a deep pool when you start diving into boots and shoes.
Right.
And, so working with stitched together kind of traditionally made footwear, you know, is kind of special, because it's really built to be repaired.
Exactly.
And so that's where I got that opportunity at DeVito's Shoe Repair in Nelson.
I see. That sounds a very interesting startup there, Matt, that you had. Like, my father was a traveling shoe salesman.
Yeah, cool.
And so I got to Smithers with him. And we stopped at Hetherington and Hooper when I was 10 years old. And I had sort of said, this is where I'd like to live, because I like the scenery, you know, and the lifestyle here. So I had an opportunity to go into shoes. My dad had a store, but I wanted to be a mechanic. So it was a little bit different. It was my choice that I could have gone in one direction or the other. And your decision to go into the repair business is quite a interesting decision to make. Like, there's a lot to that, in the sense of, for some reason, we're in this throwaway society where we just get something and it gets worn out or whatever, and we toss it in the garbage. And to actually put a new soul on a shoe and extend its life, it's considered, in a sense, you know, recycling or reusing. It's part of the what we need to do today, because we got too many people throwing stuff away.
Absolutely. I think that people, we went through this phase of getting as much of whatever it was as possible. Mm-hmm. And so people would, you know, burn through sneakers or flip-flops, and just everything became made out of synthetic materials.
Right.
After, I don't know when that really started, but after the invention of plastic and nylon, everything became more disposable because it was cheaper, I think.
I guess, yeah.
And it became more affordable to produce lower quality items. And I think that we're seeing kind of a resurgence of people who are interested in investing in something that's going to last significantly longer.
Right, right. No, that sounds to me like where we could go in the right direction. Because for some reason, we have to accept that there's too many of us out there, and we don't have the resources to keep fulfilling our wants. So we need to find a way that we can recycle and reuse items, and that can keep us sort of at a level playing field. Matt, with this program, we try to mix in a few little songs that coming out of your playlist. And I I kind of like this part of the show because I get to understand more songs and coming out of your head, which is kind of cool. So I was going to start us off with our first song. And this is The Lonely End of the Rink. It sounds like a hockey song. Would you call it that?
It is based off of, being a goalie on the rink.
Okay, right on. So let's see if we can get that one to play up. Well, that was the Tragically Hip, Matt, and they are a pretty famous Canadian band.
Pretty iconic.
Pretty iconic, and they've done a tremendous amount of music over the years. What they were kind of saying in part of the bio was that they're very happy with all the accolades that they got, but part of their thrill was helping out with humanitarian efforts over their careers, and they really did touch a lot of people. So yourself, Matt, I want to just go back a little bit to when you went down to the Kootenays with your wife, And I've been down to Nelson around the Kootenai there. It's extremely beautiful down there. I would kind of think to myself once I got down there, I'm going to stay here. What kind of, how did you ever come up with that idea that you think you should come back?
Well, so after working at DeVito's for a few years, I went off on my own and started my own business, started buying machinery. And it kind of felt like the right thing to do to not step on the toes of their business.
I see.
And so I was thinking about, you know, which direction to go. And, you know, Smithers had a lot of kind of old roots that I wanted to get back in touch with after being in Nelson. We lived in Slocan, about an hour out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, it was, you know, time to get back to town so we could have a bit more of a social life kind of thing.
Right.
And so it's been really fun and felt quite welcoming coming back to Smithers and being a townie again.
Right.
Just feels easy.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of an easier life. We had a farm out in Telqua, and you know, you make your own social life while you're there, and it's not the same as being in town. Town is a little bit easier. The water is running all the time. There's no problems there.
And part of what I really enjoyed about the Kootenays was we did get to live that cabin lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was something I always wanted to try.
Right.
And, you know, living off firewood and, you know, snowshoeing up the driveway in the winter. And that was all part of the game. And it's a lot of work.
It is
living
a lot.
That life.
Yeah.
But I had fun doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of work if you've got a job, and the job is a lot of work, then you're kind of getting a little bit too much.
Yeah,
happening.
It was interesting when we were living out in the bush there. I was driving back and forth to DeVito's and spend a lot of time. You know, I enjoy driving though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't too big of a problem. I had a big subwoofer in my car, and so
right,
bounce to work and bounce back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And how did your wife make out on her apprenticeship in carpentry?
She enjoyed it. She got 2 years of her schooling done there and was working at a timber frame company down there. So she got some really neat experience.
Oh, that's great.
I think would have been challenging to get into here in Smithers without any experience. And so that was really cool to see her enjoy that.
Yes.
She's not doing carpentry anymore,
right.
But she got a good life experience out of that and has some skills that'll never go to waste.
Never. No. Any kind of jobs or things that we do is always good for the expanding of our mind and our general experience. Now, Matt, when I graduated from school, it was kind of the big thing was to go to Europe and travel. Have you had a chance to go anywhere and look around besides the Kootenays and here?
No, it's not really my cup of tea.
Right.
I'm a BC boy.
Right.
I'd be quite happy to stay here on this side of the Rockies, you know, maybe explore a little bit in the Rockies. But I really just enjoy, I feel like we have so much to explore here.
Exactly.
That I could spend my lifetime hiking and skiing and canoeing. And, I don't really have the itch to go get on a plane and see the rest of the world. I think it's worth doing.
Right.
But that's just not me.
Well, that's real interesting that you say that. Like the, British Columbia has it all, and you can never see as much as there's here. It's impossible. Every time you go down any road, any area, it's just a lot to see, and that is a very enjoyable thing rather than feeling you have to go overseas. But both ends of it can be fulfilling.
Totally worthwhile.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always felt that, you know, I was always inspired by people who were writing the trail guides for the different areas, like when Einar Blix's book, Trails to Timberline.
Right.
And I always thought it was just so inspiring that somebody could spend their life exploring our area, and there's enough to explore here that you can write a book, and then there's still stuff that's not written down.
Oh man, there's so much that hasn't been written down. No, it is really quite amazing, Matt. So Matt, just slipping back a little bit to the the leather? Is there something? Is it the leather that is making the boots and shoes more durable?
Yeah. So to talk a bit about the materials in traditional boots, leather is stronger and easier to maintain than a nylon, where there's really not much you can do to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Most boots are now layered with synthetic material inside and then have a Gore-Tex sock in them to make them waterproof, whereas traditionally you would just have leather inside and out, and then you would grease your boots to keep them waterproof. Yeah, so it's an easy medium to work with. I say easy, but it's relatively easy to mm-hmm. work with, and stretches into the shape of, a last relatively easily compared to other materials.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the materials, the newer materials, don't really stretch very much. They've got to be a better fit, I guess, from the beginning.
Yeah, typically in synthetic footwear, there's a lot of heat involved, and mm-hmm. that's how they get the stretch in a synthetic material. But with a leather, there's a lot of properties to it that make it, in my opinion, superior, and that it's essentially a renewable material. Is it comes from agriculture. Most of our leather that we have access to here is a byproduct of the meat industry.
Right.
And so I always consider it to be more sustainable than vegan leather, which is, some sort of a polyester material,
right.
An oil product, which there's a lot of industry behind that.
Right.
Instead of, supporting agriculture to make boots, it makes sense to me.
Right. And that's what you are seeing, and when we go back to talking about recycling and reusing and that product coming out of the agricultural industry, I think that's sort of part of your take on where you are going, the way you're looking at your job and your life.
Yeah, as a bootmaker, I really wanted to do something that was more traditional. I think that, there's only so many ways to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing a lot of kind of that resurgence in traditional values and reusability and repairability.
Mm-hmm.
And working with a renewable material just seems to be kind of, leather is a tried and true ingredient in shoes.
Right, exactly. Have you considered other leather products like wild animals that would be, say, moose hide or deer mm-hmm. hide? Do you see anything there?
Yeah, there's a local tanner who is, fairly small production, mm-hmm. but I've been in talks with him and looking at making some deer and moose boots, which I think will be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, that much closer to home. It's like the 500-mile diet, but with boots.
Right.
So that's kind of a neat idea. And he actually tans salmon skin as well.
Wow.
Which was something I wasn't really aware of.
Right.
And so I'm curious to see if I can work that into some more kind of a styly pair of boots or shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than a work boot.
Right. No, that sounds real good. Well, let's mix in another song, Matt, while we're plugging along here. And one I would like to play is Rush. And you've given me a 10-minute song, and it would take away from a little bit too much of our chatting. So I'm going to just try and bring it in around the middle. So we'll see how that works. We'll be right back. Wow. Now that is a band. And your decision to choose Rush, how do you deal with your music?
I'm pretty eclectic with my music, and so I listen to all kinds of different noise.
Right.
And I find that Rush is very interesting.
Yes.
And I like how progressive they are. You know, there's a lot of change throughout their albums and throughout their songs. Normally when I'm listening to Rush, I pick an album and I listen to the whole album experience.
Right. Right.
I find that they really built their albums very well. They all flow together.
Yes. And they've been at it for 4 decades. That's very hard to believe. This song that we just played called La Villa Strangietto. Does that mean anything to you? Is that some kind of a song that you relate to?
It's kind of, I think, one of their, it's off of the album Hemispheres, I believe.
Right.
And I like that album because there's not a lot of lyrics going on to it. Mm. It really is just kind of a musical experience. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of paying attention to enjoy it.
Right, right.
Which I like that.
So, and the other thing about this album, Matt, is it's a Canadian group, which I was trying to see if we could get one Canadian song out of the 4 or 5, and you've got more than one, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I kind of made a point out of it. I like the idea of listening to some Canadian music, and the two that we've listened to so far are fairly kind of standard Canadian bands.
Very iconic, exactly. Now, just to finish off on this group, Rush, it's a trio, and the lead, Geddy Lee, is the bassist, keyboard, and vocals, and his guitarist is Alex Lifeson, and he has a drummer, Neil Peart.
Neil Peart actually wrote all of their songs.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he was a pretty phenomenal musician, I think.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so just in one more little expansion on the music now, when you're at work and you're concentrating, are you able to listen to music at work?
Yeah, and I very rarely have silence in the shop.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'll start my day off with some classical music or some opera. You know, if you come in the morning, there could be pretty loud
right.
opera going on. And then throughout the day, it kind of seems to progress into more modern music, whether it's rock and roll or something more more kind of crazy and different.
Right, but right.
Yeah, I got all kinds of music going on in my shop.
Oh, that's cool. Now, when I worked in a shop, I was as a mechanic in a shop, I had a little bit of trouble with, if the music was too loud and if it was continually retro music. I was just kind of tired of the continual retro thing that has gone on for the past 50 years, actually, the same type of music. So it's nice when you can have some other choices and that, and then fit it into your work life. It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I get to monkey with my own playlist. I listen to it, whatever I'm feeling at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really enjoy listening to different music and music that I haven't heard before. I put time in listening to artists that I've no idea who they are, and I'll put on an album. And again, kind of going with that theme from Rush, where I like to listen to an album
right.
and see right. what that artist is right. capable of.
Exactly.
And, there's a lot of music. We're at a great time in history where we have so much at our fingertips to listen to.
Yes, it's pretty crazy. And just the actual getting to the music without having to maybe buy the album and set up your own system. You've got our phone, our cell phone, that can just pack the whole thing on there.
Which I think makes it a difficult time to be an artist.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a lot easier to get your music out there. But I don't know if they're getting paid for it.
Right, as... right. Well, in our system here, we are paying. It's a very minimal payment that they have, but we're hooked up to the program, and we are supporting the artist.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, whatever route they're going. So Matt, back to the job, and I think it's a pretty amazing decision to not force your business into Nelson with the guy that trained you. Like, I've run into that before. I had a friend of mine was a tree topper, and he said a guy's come around and wants to me to train him, and he said, well, if I train him, then he's going to open up a business and I'm going to lose my business, you know? So it's kind of a little bit of a touchy area.
Yeah, I think that with due respect, you kind of have, mm-hmm. or you should,
yeah.
Be careful of that. And that was originally why I kind of went into shoe manufacturing and making boots. My vision is to do that as my mainstay, and then repair is my skill that I had before that.
Right.
And so
right,
that's,
I see.
Originally in Nelson, I was thinking that I could pursue the boot making thing, but then repair really is good bread and butter.
Right.
And
right.
So I wanted to be able to, tap into, a place where my service wasn't being offered.
Right.
And I think Smithers lost their cobbler in the early 2000s kind of thing. And
right.
So it's been almost 20 years since there's been a cobbler in Smithers. And in my mind, which I'm slightly biased, I consider it to be almost an essential service in a town.
Exactly. And you have to think about that service, how important it is, going back again to reusing and recycling, because you wear out a pair of shoes, but they're not, I want to give them to you, but they're not new. They're not really something that somebody else really wants. But if I could put a new soul on them and get them back to life, that to me is pretty exciting that we have that opportunity.
Yeah, I think people used to, in the age of where you only had traditionally built shoes, cobblers were mainstay.
Right.
And a cobbler is the person who doesn't know how to make shoes, but knows how to repair them.
Right.
And then a shoe or boot maker, would occasionally be training cobblers to become shoe and boot makers.
I see.
And it's a very kind of old English trade.
Right, right.
Which is, it's not much of a relevant trade anymore.
Right.
But I enjoy it
more,
I think, even because of that. It's kind of an obscure career to pursue.
Right, right. And I think you'll always have a job, in a sense. Like, that's one thing when I was a mechanic, you're never out of work.
Yep.
And you can say the trades have kind of fallen off and we've got all the technical issues going, but there still is a plumbing issue, an electrical issue, mechanical issue.
Yeah, people will continue to need those hands-on services,
right,
for as long as people are people and they continue to leave their houses once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, so we've kind of come to the halfway point of our program, and that's where I step forward again and recognize the station that we're at here. This is Smithers Community Radio. We're on 93.9 on your FM dial, and we are also trying to thank our sponsors. We've got people that are helping us. This is a complete volunteer setup. And so when volunteer charity, there's always somebody that's going to put a little bit of money into your pocket to keep you going. So we've got just on with the bronze sponsors, I give a shout out to them. And I usually start off with Accounting on Broadway, and we've got Bugwood Bean, and we have the BV Concert Association. We're working close with them, and the BV Farmers Market, and Classic Sanitary. So, and I just want to pass on to the listeners that my name is Thomas Tom Roper, and tonight we're having a special guest, an interview with Matt Webb. He's what I'm calling now a Smithers bootmaker.
Web Boot Company.
The Web Boot Company. And we're going to go over that a couple more times to make sure that we know where you are and how to get to you. So, Matt, one thing that I determined a few years ago was to become a Smithereen, which you have achieved that by being born here.
Yeah, I got a leg up.
You got a leg up on it. But I'm always saying to the immigrants like myself who have come up, I came up from Burnaby. There's people come from all over the world that have come somehow ended up in Smithers. But I recommend that they, if they want to put that moniker on their name, they need to float the Bulkley and they need to climb Hudson Bay Mountain. Now, I've been fortunate back in the day that I was able to climb the mountain, and on the top of the mountain is a canister with a book in it. Have you seen that book, Matt?
I've been up there a couple of times.
Right. It's kind of that last little rise is a little bit of it's a little bit interesting for a person that's not very good at heights.
Yeah, it can be a little hands-on at the top there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've managed to get my dog Cleo up to the peak.
Oh, good for you, yeah.
When she was a puppy, and then again just recently we met it. Pretty close, but it starts to get a little sharp at the edge.
That's right.
Yeah. Got wiser with my dog in my later years. I'm a little bit more careful than I used to be with her.
We don't want to lose her over the edge. And have you done any river work? Have you?
Yeah, just for fun in the summer, particularly this last summer, got to enjoy the Bulkley, and you know, when it's hot, it just makes sense to go float the river. And I want to do more canoeing and paddleboarding next summer, and just kind of explore both the Bulkley and different creeks and rivers that are around.
There's
a lot going on.
Boy, is there ever a lot going on. And there's a lot of lakes around too that you can get yourself onto, and the scenery is a little bit spectacular. There's no question about it. So, Matt, getting back to the boot world, and we've talked a little bit about your materials, and we've talked about how you kind of setting up in Smithers. How do you feel that you're going to have enough business to keep you to keep the wolf from the door?
Well, right now I've got, you know, probably 4 to 6 months of work ahead of me. So it's kind of intimidating in a way, but also really good to have that much work out front between the manufacturing of boots and the repair. I'm constantly trying to tag team one or the other and keep up with things. And it's, so far I haven't caught up.
No.
The day I catch up will be the day I'm out of a job. So.
Right. So that's probably a good situation. And, you know, when you have to be able to mentally accept your position that you've got a lot, there's a lot of demand.
Well, and it's really interesting running a business as opposed to
working.
Just having a job and going to work and then hanging your hat up at the end of the day and going home. Whereas now I feel much more of the onus of running this business, and there's a lot of bits and pieces behind making it successful. And really I'm finding now in my 30s that I'm ready for that responsibility, and I'm taking it on and just chew on it until I figure it out.
Right, exactly. No, that sounds really good, Matt, actually. Well, let's mix in another song we got. I was going to slide this out. I know you've got Gordon Lightfoot in there, but I kind of wanted to give a shot out to these other couple here. And this Crown Lands, it's a pretty cool song. And, you know, I've never heard them before, but it just really is something that I really like. So we'll give her a go. It's called Lady of the Lake.
Oh,
That was pretty cool, Matt. Very cool. This group, Crown Lands, they're fearless advocates for the LGBTQ people, the indigenous, and the counterculture of the 21st century. Did you know that?
I knew a little bit about their kind of political motivations.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it's interesting. There are some songs where it comes out a little more clearly.
Right, right.
That song is about, you know, King Arthur and the sword and the of Excalibur.
Sword. Right, right.
So, you know, they're fairly, I would consider them to be, you know, a progressive band. And, they're doing whatever they want to do as artists.
Yeah, exactly. And they're a duo. That's Cody Bowers is the drummer, singer. And the keyboard guitarist is a one-word Como.
That's pretty neat that it's just two folks doing
noise. Yeah, they can put that all together. No, it's very cool. Matt, so going back, another question that I'm always curious about is, you're focused on the boot end of the world. What about beyond that? Like, let's say bags. Or purses, or clothing, or, you know, there's various other items that fall into the leather business.
Yeah, certainly there's so much variety to the things you can make with leather. Boots is what I'm passionate about. It's what I enjoy, and I think I kind of chose boots because it's very challenging. It's quite a complex process putting together a set of boots. And so I chose, you know, the more complicated end of what I could do. And then when I do go and make a bag or wallets and belts and those sorts of things, it's always kind of a nice break.
Right, right.
There's a lot of different skills that come into play and, you know, tricks that make those things easier. The more you do something, the better you get.
But
I'm still learning about boots, and I think I'll continue to learn my whole career.
Yeah, I think so. There's so much involved there. Have you communicated with other bootmakers? Like, is there a network on the internet that you can question or discuss?
Absolutely. There's kind of a neat community of bootmakers in British Columbia that, you know, we all kind of chat with each other once in a while.
Right.
You know, something breaks on one of our machines, you'll hear about it there. And it's pretty neat. And then more broadly, there's a Stitch Down community, which is, you know, Stitch Down is a type of boot construction. And it's fairly... how would you say? It's kind of like almost like this fringe group of people that like expensive denim jeans and fancy boots. And I'm trying to be less on the fancy end of things, but I find myself going that way with some of my footwear.
Well, it's the market also that you have to consider. And, you know, the amount of time that you put into a product, it's very difficult in today's rate to really produce something and be paid for what you do, because it takes time.
And I think that kind of speaks to, you know, we saw a lot of manufacturing leave Canada. And I'm not quite sure as to all the different reasons, but I think it costs a lot of money to manufacture things here in Canada. And so a lot of companies who are, you know, pursuing business in a logical manner or trying to become available to people will go overseas, get a certain amount of the production done, and then maybe bring some of it back to Canada to finish the process and call it made in Canada.
Right, right, yeah.
But I want to stay 100% made in Canada. That is one of my goals as a business.
That sounds like a really decent goal. So we're plugging away on this interview. It's coming along real nicely. We are into our 10-minute mark. So we got to squeeze in a couple more songs because you've got a really as you said yourself, eclectic. It's got some really interesting styles. So let's slip in this one that we've got. What are we going to call that one? Oh, yeah, I love this song, actually, by the Gladiators.
This is a good one.
Yeah, so we'll just give her a go here. That is a pretty cool song, and you can tell by the sound that we're coming out of Jamaica on that one. And the band leader, Al Griffiths, has been going for 3 decades. It's hard to believe it. And he's in a position now, he's trying to retire, and he's got both of his sons. He's got 2 boys that are involved in the band also to carry the name on.
That's pretty cool. Legacy continues.
That is very cool. Very cool. And it's kind of a cool song. Now, Matt, we're kind of closing ourselves down. It looks like we've got a couple minutes. It's been a very interesting interview with you and understanding your process there. what you, how you've got yourself into Smithers, back to your old homeland, and how you're going to enjoy yourself while you're here. And I mean, it's not all about work. It's, work is very important, but you've got these other hobbies that you're talking about, hiking and canoeing and, you know, seeing the country. And it is a big country to see that needs a little bit of time spent at it, you know. We floated the Babine River. It's almost spiritual when you're out there. It's just amazing that we can run into that, you know.
Yeah, I like getting out where it's quiet. It's one thing I really enjoy about winter activity, going out ski touring, is that it, winter especially, is just very peaceful, yeah, quiet, if you let it be that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like I moved from the farm, I had my own trails out there to the hill where we have the cross-country track. There's 50 kilometers of trails in that area. So there, it, and generally when you're up there, you do not run into very many people. You know, it's quite an amazing, really. Mm-hmm. So Matt, if we were to kind of bring this together, I'd like you to just give me a little bit more information of how somebody can reach you on your website, your phone, your location. And if you could just give me a rundown on that, I'd appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, I am located on Tatlow Road, just behind the Toyota dealer, in with the Tatlow Mall there. There's a group of small businesses. And so I'm there, unit number 5. And yeah, come find me at Web Boot Company, 8 till 6, Monday through Wednesday. And then I'm available by appointment the rest of the week. And yeah, you can catch me on my website there if you want to take a look at my boots and build your own boots, and come see me if you want to check it out.
That sounds fantastic. So I want to... and you have a Facebook page, or you have a web page too.
Yeah, I'm fairly available, right, on different platforms. Yeah, if you're, whatever your social media choice is, okay, look up Web Boot Company and you'll find me.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Well, thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you, Tom.
It's been a lot of fun. We'll see if we can get this outro to work.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.